All right, good people, whether you're listening in your cars, in your cubicle, or the stall of the bathroom, or wherever you're listening to this podcast, thank you for listening, as always. And if you could, since you're good people, do us a solid, head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star review if you haven't yet. Subscribe if you haven't yet. If you don't, if you've done all that, then you're a very good person. So just go tell all your friends to go and download, listen, subscribe, all that good stuff, so that we get more listeners and so that we get to spread the love even more. Thank you, as always, for being good people. And now here's our song.
Ice Podcast.
Hi, this is Alex M.
And this is Morgan S.
And you're listening to Coming Clean Podcast with Sam and Marty. Can I get down like
this? This is Coming Clean Podcast.
With Sam and Marty.
On today's episode, we ride the roller coaster of Heidi's emotions when it comes to Spencer. We tag along LC for a new job, opportunity, and other things. All right, welcome. Happy Friday. You made it. Congrats. It's November. The spookiest month of the year is over, and now we're in the holiday season, so get in the holiday spirit with us here on the Coming Clean Podcast, the retrospective podcast about MTV's iconic shows Laguna Beach, and also what we're talking about right now, The Hills. I am the host that should be writing down more of his intro so he doesn't mess up the previews, aka the president of the Lonely Girl 15 fan club, aka the boy who chugs LaCroix, but only the citrus kinds because the rest tastes like fruit farts. But shout outs to coconut, mango, yite. Aka the writer of Sins Not Tragedies, aka Lin-Manuel Miranda Cosgrove. So get your pairphones ready to listen to the fallout, man. Because ladies, you gotta watch out, because I'm known to drop a heart and break a name. But don't worry, I'm very nice. But you know me best as the bro that runs the show. My name is Marty. And with me as always, the noble to my barns, the man with the face of a Hollywood lead, but he can't read, aka baby Shiloh and baby Suri's biological father, aka Sammy California, aka Helen of Troy Bolton. So get your head in the game, because he is larger than life. That's why we call him the Backstreet Man. But don't you dare call him T-Mobile, because he ain't my sidekick. He's Mr. Visually Rewarding. It's Sam.
It's a pleasure and a welcome to be here. And if you were watching us on YouTube, you'd see that I'm pointing to my back because I'm carrying this team.
Wait, what just happened? Oh, you throwing shade right now? Why are you talking spicy so early in the episode, man?
we're beefing already.
Oh, whoa. Well, the beef in the streets was 2 weeks ago.
Because we're doing a no shave November and we're now dueling beards.
Well, we've had beards for the better part of 3 or 4 years, so I don't know how November is much different. All right, well, we've done our highs and the lows. Let's get to some headlines, if there are any.
The Hills headlines.
Are there any Hills headlines to talk about?
Heidi and Spencer brought their child to his first audition.
Oh my God.
And I guess it went pretty well.
What? For what?
I think it was a commercial, and he could be in the commercial. I'm not sure how it panned out because I didn't click the link. Can't give out those free clicks. But yeah, I just know it was like a thing.
Wow. Well, we got to watch out for that. Find the baby with a flesh-colored beard. All right, well, yeah, not a lot going on in the real world. You know, just some Halloween costumes from the gang. You know, Elsie and the baby, matching costumes. Some
what were they?
Some sort of, like, cat and dog, I think. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They just looked matching. I didn't read the caption.
Audrino's probably in court.
Oh.
That went over your head.
Yeah. Wait, for the divorce?
Yeah, I was just kidding.
Oh, wow. Got serious here. Well, let's get serious now. And we're talking about the episode. This is episode 49 of the Coming Clean podcast, hitting another milestone. So we got to be, as this episode is titled, extra careful, because we got a little problematic last week with some references. So we're being extra careful. And season 2, episode 5 is what we're talking about as far as the Hills. What is that episode called?
It's called One Big Interruption.
It sure is.
Which?
The Hills Highlights.
I think I know what you're about to refer to.
Which I think it's called something else on the website.
Yeah, it's called When You Least Expect It, which was episode 2 of the season. There wasn't even an episode description on the sidebar. So whoever uploaded this particular episode messed up real bad.
Hey, that intern really got after it.
Yeah, it's like, but I think that's the only error. But you know, we move on and we go by the title on screen. At least that's what I think the screen said. I don't know what Wikipedia says.
I'm viciously searching right now.
Well, Heidi did say one big interruption to Spencer. And speaking of which. Let's talk about Spencer. There's like two big story arcs here. Let's get the one with the relationship drama out of the way, because I think the next topic is a little bit more fun. I don't know. It's more work stuff, which we usually have some
fuego takes on. Experience.
Yeah. But as far as relationships, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. But let's talk about Spencer and Heidi. So we open up the episode with Audrina back in the gang.
Yeah, finally got a key to the apartment. She's back in the fold.
Sitting on that couch.
I'm assuming this is the day after, so Heidi's probably very hungover. Mm-hmm. Last time we saw them, Elsie and Heidi were both drunkenly crying in Heidi's bed, mourning the loss of Spencer. And now we have Audrina and Elsie, you know, talking that stuff against Spencer and about what was going on behind the scenes.
Oof. Just so a lot to unpack here. So, well, Spencer was accused of minimum two things, at least within the past couple weeks in Hillsland. That's not counting his entire history, which Heidi has been constantly warned of. So the first one was the bombshell, which apparently, I don't know if Heidi just wasn't listening or it wasn't brought up, but the fact that Spencer, when he met Audrina, gave Audrina the Heidi flowers.
Yeah, but so did Heidi leave the flower? Is that what happened? He brought the flowers and she left him, so then he just was like, all right, I'll repurpose these.
I think so, which, I mean, you know, not just rules guys, not just spite guys, but also frugal guys.
Hey, I love the effort.
Yeah, you know, just, they say two birds, one stone, you know, two dates, one bouquet.
Yeah, and it also comes to find out that I think she stayed over again so Heidi stayed over the night prior, left the flowers. Spencer then took the flowers to Audrina. Then Audrina and Spencer ended up going to that club, and Spencer and Heidi, she stayed at Spencer and Heidi's place again.
Right. Question.
So, which, what?
If Heidi knew those were her flowers, and then they just disappeared, you didn't think she would have asked? No, never mind, because Audrina never accepted the flowers.
She never didn't take him with him?
No, at Pinkberry she was like, I don't think she took him. Or
I mean, she was holding him, though. So. Oh,
never mind. Then if she took him, why didn't wasn't Heidi like, yo, I left flowers here. Where'd they go?
I mean, maybe she was drinking at the time. I don't know these situations, but we'd never know. These are mysterious flowers. We're going to have to figure this out. I will ask on Twitter what happened to the flowers.
Former cameraman or Spencer yourself. You know, if you got insider info, hit us up at Coming Clean Pod. Where the flowers go.
And then we get, so after this little interaction, which Adrina supposedly told Heidi forgot that she told her that she decides to confront Spencer about the whole situation, mm-hmm. give him a little call and mm-hmm. put it on speaker. Very dangerous move.
Yep.
She didn't even warn him that he was on speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And we got Elsie and Adrina playing hype women for Heidi.
Right.
As she confronted Spencer about the whole situation.
I got a bone to pick with Elsie here.
Yes. And I have a feeling that we might be on the same page.
So on two levels. One is the old adage that misery loves company. Like, just because you just broke up with Jason, like, don't be feasting on your friend. Like, she was clearly enjoying Heidi's misery here, because she's like, yeah. Oh, I'm not the most miserable person in the hills.
And she was also jumping on the fact that she was like, oh, I never liked Spencer to begin with.
Right.
I never trust him as far as I can throw him. Like, she never, yeah. I mean, from what we saw, she never really specifically said anything.
She was encouraging it.
Yeah, and she said she was, like, kind of fine with Spencer. Right. I mean, I think she was, like, maybe she didn't fully like him.
Right.
I feel like in the past episode that was brought up. But now she's, like, full on saying all this stuff, which is not a smart move because people can get back together.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah. So you can be, you're talking all this spicy about a person's ex significant other. It might come back to bite you.
Yeah. So the second thing is when Elsie did sort of this side comment of something around don't be with someone who manipulates you or something like that. It's like you were just in that situation.
Now, she could be possibly giving advice from her past experiences. But I feel like maybe the way she's kind of speaking to Heidi is like she is seeming a little holier than thou,
right,
in the situation. Not necessarily being like sympathetic, be like, hey, just so you know, like, I always had this feeling, but I didn't want to get involved.
Right.
She was more of like, let's go on the offensive. And
because she could have easily worded it as, yo, I've been basically in this situation maybe a month ago.
Yeah.
Like,
It's better to just get out.
Right. Instead of, yeah. So, not a fan of how Elsie has approached this situation as a friend. Like, as a friend, obviously you want to hype your friend up, but, you know, you're just setting, I don't know.
But you could do it in a different way. You could be like, hey, you know, he's done all this stuff. This doesn't sound like a good person.
Right. And like,
or like did that stuff. Or like, this person's cheated on you multiple times. Like, maybe it's not the best idea or whatever. Maybe not necessarily cheated, just, you know, did something a little shady.
Right.
That most people wouldn't like.
Right. And also it's like, yeah, I'm your friend and I'm saying this to you, and other people have said it to you too, whether they're your friends or not. Like, it's like across the spectrum of like just maybe acquaintances to friends. If this is like a common theme about the guy, like, you kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but when, like, literally everyone, when that's his reputation and he's done it to you, it's like, what else do you need?
Yeah. I mean, love is blind.
And I guess also dumb.
Yeah. Deaf, dumb.
But blind. But again, we are kayfabe only. We clearly know how the rest gets written.
Future.
Yeah. So, again, so for those, you know, for those about to hashtag actually us on the social media, we are living as if this is only happening now. So cool your jets. All right.
And, if you don't know what kayfabe is, you can easily Google it. So yes. Do not add us.
Or just, add us. We'll respond. Actually, yeah, add us. Hashtag actually, add us.
Yeah, someone, please.
So we get to, we'll skip the LC stuff for now, but we get to Bolt House, where Spencer calls Heidi, and they have a little altercation on the phone, and Heidi sort of just saying, yo, give me a week. I don't want to be with you. I don't want to see you. I need you off my brains. And Spencer is like, at first he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he was like, fine, whatever.
He gave up too easily.
Yeah.
So. But he does bring up a good point that when they're talking on the phone is like, if I really didn't like you or love you, like, would I still be answering your phone calls or, trying to call you all the time?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. But also sort of like a manipulative move too, because you could easily just be, I want to like leave the good guy here.
Yeah, semantics.
Right. So we get that. Heidi. Okay, so her friend, the one who ratted, who snitched on Spencer at the party, the New York
one.
Yes,
the one that was from, yes. I was actually going to say that too. Is she from like New York?
Yeah. So I'm just saying that if it was me. She's like aggressively New York.
But then she was like, yeah, he came in with these like,
with these blonde playboys.
And then Heidi's like, well, what did they do? And they're like, well, he just sat there. Yeah. And they were just like there and kind of danced a little bit.
They didn't do anything.
But they were there. Yeah, they didn't do anything. Like, all right, then you're kind of, I mean, we know from like the sound bites, but you can't be, kind of causing drama in somebody else's life by not really having anything backing on it.
Right, yeah. Like, it's bad enough that you're snitching, but, well, I guess in this case, you should snitch.
And at this point, everybody already kind of knows.
Right.
Like, sure, I got the rundown from the people at the table, but right. That was the one girl that was, like, hyping her up, so she, like, stormed in there.
Right. So she's like, if it were me, I wouldn't at all. I don't know. She sounds like she's from Goodfellas now.
Hey, yo, yeah.
If it were me, that's not okay, you know?
These bimbos came into Studio 54.
Yeah, I told Tony Monsanto over there, don't let him in the club. They get it spicy over here. And my buddy Prosciutto came in and was like, no, they're cool. They paid the cover. And what could I do? What are you going to do?
And then Gina came in.
Oh, we're talking. We're doing this now. And scene. That was our audition. If for any voice acting that you would like. We do very similar voices for a lot of things.
Yeah, like if you have 10 characters, all the same different situation, we're good. You only have to hire us for one fee.
All right. So that happens. We're
basically Hank Azaria.
Except like much worse. So that happens, and then Heidi then fast forward over. She's talking to Elodie now, trying to get some advice. Elodie's like, drop that habit. And Heidi's like, nah. I miss him.
She's like, I'm fiending.
So, Spencer's like a drug, man. He's like a cigarette.
Hey, sometimes it's hard to break up or go through a breakup. Yeah, a lot of times it takes a couple of times to back and forth, and not that I would know, but from what I hear.
Yeah, as Ruben Studdard covered, I forget who actually sang it originally, breaking up is hard to do. Who sang that?
Or as Ryan Gosling said in The Notebook, I can't quit you.
Oh, it's Neil Sedaka.
Sudoku?
Sudeikis? Neil Sudoku.
Kevin Sudeikis.
It's Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, that guy.
Bobby? Okay, so eventually our last scene is Heidi, you know, gives it, that Spencer vibe, hitting Heidi hard, and she
he's sent her with that T9 you up.
And she was like, yeah, daddy.
And semicolon dash smiley face.
Yeah, and then like 8 equals D. Hashtag eggplant.
Or whatever is like the butt. How do you make a butt?
How do you make a butt? Is it just the 3?
Is it 3? No, it's the...
Are you Googling how do you make a butt?
Yep, now I am. I think it's the...
Great content.
It's a open parentheses underscore line underscore close parentheses. Classic.
Yeah. Good call. I'm going to start.
There's also a bubble butt emoji, which is pretty sick, too.
I'm going to swear off emojis and going to go back to emoticons.
Shout out.
Yeah.
I hate how the internet. Well, whenever you do emoticons now, it transfers it for you, which is
into emoji. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the tale of Spencer and Heidi for this week. And now we go to some more job opportunities, some proving ground stuff for LC. I do not have words tonight. But we get another assignment for LC to help plan a dinner.
Yeah, she's all on her own. Her buddy Whitney is going through wisdom teeth withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And Lisa is funny. Lisa is a funny character.
I can't tell if she's being serious or not.
I think at the same time she's like, all right, I had to go through this. It's a good promotion.
Right.
But she's like, I'm giving these kids like the worst tasks. Right. This is a waste of my time.
Yeah, like I should not be assigning them this. It's like the lowest level employee should be telling the interns what to do, but the cameras are here. The internet's coming.
And you know she doesn't want to be sympathetic at all. Like, she does not care about Whitney's teeth.
Right.
And she's like, ugh, this is a waste of my time.
So essentially there's going to be a Teen Vogue hosted dinner with what, like 20 young designers in LA, and LC and Whitney, but since Whitney's out of commission, LC was assigned to help prepare for it, send out the reminder letters with a little bit of help from the New York intern, Emily.
Yeah, this is a great representation of East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, I was guessing, could they have been more, like, could they have picked a more, like, stereotypical New York type A go-getter?
Yeah, just, I'm doing school, 2 internships, and then I still party every night.
Yeah, it's like, I want to be like, okay, this is like, you're just playing into stereotypes, but I know people like that.
Yeah,
the problem.
Stereotypes are sometimes there for a reason.
Right.
And this is a perfect example that LC is very more laid back, not good handwriting, a little disorganized, she would say. And Emily came in and was like, I research plants on the weekend.
Hold up.
I know.
Let me rewind for 1 second. Okay. I just want to discuss for a couple of seconds here Emily's entrance, where it was just, she was flexing all over that floor. And just, did she drop her business card on Elsie's desk?
No, I think it was, no, well, she put her purse down. Bag down. Yeah, just, and then I think it was her credit card.
Oh, okay.
It looked like a credit card, but okay. Still, like, why are you leaving credit cards around like that?
You're just, you know, posting up on LC's, just straight up power move. Like, I'm going to dump all my stuff here, and you just got to deal with it. I'm running on East Coast time, lady. I'm 3 hours ahead of you, and yeah. you don't know what's going on.
She's already in meetings and talking to Lisa before Elsie even gets there.
Right. They just made Elsie look like a massive slacker who had no clue what she was doing.
Oh, my God.
And can I just comment, the ultimate power move that I have seen, that I like literally paused and like gave a couple of golf claps to Emily, was when she walks in as Elsie is sort of trying to figure out what's going on. She goes, "Hey, oh, you're Lauren?" It's like, oh, you know exactly who that is. You've seen Laguna Beach. You've seen Laguna Beach. You know exactly who that is. Oh, my God. You the power that. Move. I was like, yeah, I can respect that. Just straight up bodying LC throughout that situation. But, yeah, go on. So she gets there. They go flower shopping.
Yeah, so they have to do this whole plan as they're flower shopping, preparing. And Emily is just absolutely schooling LC on basically life.
Everything, yeah.
Every single thing. Emily is a beast. Like, she's known for a long time that this is what she wants. Right. And she's just very into fashion, like, probably at a young age or whatever. And, like, she's all up on the new trends, flowers, like, decorating.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. And she's just running rings around. Like, Elsie doesn't know what, like, a ficus is, maybe. I don't know. All these, like, different century art pieces and vases, and Emily is just kicking butt.
Yeah, so I think you did call out the sort of East Coast, West Coast dynamic, and we're talking in generalizations here, obviously not true, since I don't know where Lisa's originally from or what her background is, but she's in the West Coast, but she acts, quote unquote, more East Coast like, Northeast to be exact, even New York to be exact. But yeah, LC's style was more, you know, I'm chill.
She's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Where'd you go to college?
Does not say.
Because Emily's from Connecticut, so she got that. Tri-state area fight in her.
Oh, she used to be a model.
Lisa?
She went to the school. So she spent most of her life living in Rome, Geneva, and Paris. She attended school at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
She was studied painting. Yeah, so East
Coast.
So
she got some. She was trained in the East Coast. But yeah, sort of Elsie's style is sort of more the grace under pressure, where, you know, if the proverbial poop emoji hits the fan, you know, she'll just roll with it. She'll find a solution, man. You know, we got this. Everything's going to be cool, bruh. And Emily's more like, yo, I ain't even going to let the pressure happen. I'm like, I'm on the offensive. I'm taking pressure out, son.
Yeah, she's like, I've prepared already for, like, since January, and this is now July, and we just had to finalize some details. It's done already.
Yeah, she's like, no, I know what I want. Also, Elsie sort of just, you know, she's been bodied pretty much the entire day, and then just took that little win when she wasn't sure about how the flower arrangement on the table looked, and then Lisa had them take out half of the flowers. Yeah, you know, just a little smirk there from Elsie.
Yeah, just gotta get that one win.
Yeah, she's like, got her. Even though she didn't say anything, she could have like voiced her opinion.
But she locked it in.
What was the kind of vase that they wanted?
Sartreuse?
No.
Nicki Minaj?
Some Asian inspired one. I don't even know. We'll ask Emily. But, yeah, so very, very interesting dynamic. I read ahead a little bit because wanted to know more about her. We get her for two more episodes. I don't know which ones. But two more episodes with Emily. So looking forward to that. And now she's woo. Now she is. Yeah. I don't know, man. She's kind of my hero. She just showing that hard work pays off. She is now CEO and running one of the probably
premier.
Yeah, one of the top disruptors in the makeup category. What is it called?
Glamour? Glossary. Glossier.
Glossier. Glossier. I don't know where dudes. Glossier. Glossier.
But it, yeah, from I mean, I've asked around and people are like, yeah, that stuff is like amazing, or it's an amazing shop and internet. You know, I think they're mostly internet based, but they do have a couple of shops.
Yeah, so at 32, she's graced the cover of magazines, not fashion magazines, but you know, when I think it was attributed to LC, actually, ironically, what's your favorite position? And she says CEO, and you know, she probably got that inspiration from Emily, because Emily, you know, just gracing the covers of business and trade magazines as one of the youngest self-made millionaires. So, arguably...
After.
Yeah, arguably the most successful alum
Hills
of the Hills or Laguna Beach. Money-wise, yeah, if money is our metric. Yeah. I guess LC has something to say about that. But, you know, got a... Lauren... Conrad... Net worth. She is at... 25 million? She's worth 25 million. Is that true?
Wow. I think possible. She's got a book. She's got that Target money or Kohl's money.
Hold on. So I just clicked on a list from thefame10.com. So take that as you will. But it's like the guys of the Hills, how much are they worth now? Number 11, Justin Bobby. Estimated net worth $50,000.
What?
And then it jumps to Brody, $10 million. 50 grand.
Oh, getting spicy on there. Oof.
Stephanie Pratt, $500,000. Audrina, $5 million, making that New York One money. Shout out. Great show. Oh no, that was NBC. NBC New York. Great show. Watch it all the time when I'm on a cab. When I'm up at like 4 a.m.
True. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Whitney Port, 3.5. Heidi and Spencer, $2 million. You may confirm or deny this, guys. Low, $5 million. Jade Nicole, $2 million. Yeah, I don't know about these numbers. LC, $25 million. Kristen, $3 million. I don't know. Cutler's making bank. So as a family, their net worth has to be a lot higher.
Yeah, but you wouldn't count it as...
Jay Cutler is worth $81 million.
Wow.
That's what hard, semi-hard work will get you.
If you're just a quarterback. Just throw a ball really far.
Yeah. And who are Emily... is worth. Let's see what she's worth.
It not might that, not be disclosed.
We'll find out. Not that we're judging people based on their net worth, but it will just be interesting to see who's the most successful one. 25 million is the number to beat. Forbes is not helping me. NYU grad. Oh, what's the name of her thing? Glossier?
Yeah.
Riveting radio right now. And I can't find it. We'll tweet it. I cannot find it. I guess it's not... it's not
well,
public? It's not, oh, 8.4 million. There you go. Series okay. A funding of 8.4 million in 2016. Not bad.
Hey, anybody will take that.
Yeah. Only took me like 4.5 minutes to have people listen to me Google.
But basically, at the end of this episode, Emily takes the first victory of one of three, I'm assuming. And she was finally getting, she got invited to stay for the dinner, crushed it, and we get
not only that, she was instructed to escort Elsie and Whitney out of the venue by
yes,
which was just like, hey, this is,
and then they went to like In-N-Out, and we're like,
what were we? And right after, great cut of the scene, right after Whitney was like, oh yeah, we're definitely staying. And then cut to Lisa. Yeah, so they're, Emily, you can stay. They're going. Yeah. Walk them downstairs.
Yeah. And take their badges.
Yeah. And security's going to rough you up a bit on the way out. All right, so any other things that we missed on this episode or that we should be Googling?
Don't think so.
All right.
Nothing too crazy. Just a little more. I think we're just furthering the plot a little bit. I think eventually we'll get Elsie and Heidi coming to a head over Spencer.
Right. All right. Well, before we move on to award some titles to people, why don't we talk about our ace podcast partner, Hollywood Science?
According to Wikipedia, Hollywood science is a general term given to the phenomenon of scientific principles being misinterpreted, ignored, or abused by the Hollywood film industry. Hollywood science is a podcast about the absurdities of science in movies. They often find that the science is just awful. There's no fact-checking, and a lot of the physics cannot exist anywhere in our reality, such as in Back to the Future, the time loop. Therefore, they meet every week to talk about the lack of external and internal consistencies in this Hollywood science. We also provide facts about every single movie we review, such as taglines, PBR, great beer, and trivia we shamelessly steal from IMDb.
Above all, they are an absurdist comedy duo. They have fun, eat pizza, drink copious amounts of alcohol, homebrewed water, and Gatorade. Don't worry, they make sure to discuss this, their snacks and drinks. Join them every Tuesday as they talk about lasers, explosions, gigantic floating banana spires, garden hose, Elijah Wood, Nicolas Cage, a.k.a. the one true god. Spencer Pratt will have something to say about that. Secret codes, alien languages, driving a car on two wheels, scanning technology, and Elijah Wood. They also release bonus episodes on holidays and on Elijah Wood's birthday. Send them your blank cashier's checks. Make sure to watch for the unspeakable eldritch horrors that roam the streets of their native Chupacabra, USA, and take care of your hand pigeons. A lot of those references are lost on me, but go check them out. Facebook, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and of course at acepodcast.com, our home. That's acepodcast.com/Hollywood-science. Check out our friends Hollywood Science, acepodcast.com/Hollywood-science. Links, as always, in the description. And now we gotta share some awards, starting with the MVP. Clap your
hands with me. It's the MVP.
MVP
of the week.
Alright, who is getting your MVP of the week?
I'm going to give it to Emily. Yay!
I agree. Two times two.
Yeah. I think we kind of went pretty in-depth into it.
Yep.
She's a boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just came in and stunted on Elsie and the whole Teen Vogue office.
Yeah. She's like, I'm the captain now. And she got a seat at the table. So yeah, short and sweet there. Y'all know her the reasons. I'm sure all of you agree. If not, let us know. But now we gotta go into the zone.
Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, X-Y-Z, A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter how you spell jabroni.
Okay, you can keep saying that and make yourself think you're a good person, but you're a bad person.
I didn't do anything wrong.
All right, who are you flushing down the jabron zone?
This is a tough situation. I'm going to have to maybe give it to Heidi?
Ooh.
Question mark.
She has been flushed.
Jabroni!
Reasons.
I was going to think about giving it to Elsie because she took an L, but she had one slight victory.
Right.
Here, Heidi said she wasn't going to get back with Spencer. She's done with him and then ended up kind of at least going back out with him.
Right.
So I think they're probably getting back together from what I could gather. And I'm going to say on this episode, I'm going to give Heidi the L.
Oof. Tough one. I'm going to go slightly differently here. I'm going to give it to, I don't know her name, but Heidi's friend who was working the door who has that New York accent, whatever her name is, for snitching without a cause. So down you go.
Jabroni!
So, you know, just a word of warning to everyone. If you're snitching, better get a good reason to. All right, it's time.
It's trivia time.
All right, you are up by 1 point. And I am attempting to break the curse of twos. Because we have not been doing so hot. What day are we talking here?
We're talking about February 12th, 2007.
Ooh, almost Valentine's Day.
Are you ready for question number one?
Yes.
All right, number one. What head coach was fired from the San Diego Chargers due to the lack of playoff success and a strained relationship with ownership? He has also coached the Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Redskins. He also has a really long name and shares a nickname with you.
I'm going to go with Marty Schottenheimer.
That is correct.
Yeah. Give me that bell. Come on. Come on.
Ding.
There it is. Burr, 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 burr. All right. One for one. All right. Already halfway there.
All right. On to question number two. Business.
Oh, man.
This hotel chain, the manager of 74 luxury hotels at the time, said that it had agreed to be taken private by Bill Gates, Prince Alawaladi bin Tal, and the company's chief executive for $3.8 billion, including debt. Their hotels are perfect for any time period. What is this hotel chain?
Perfect for any time period. Oh, no. Perfect for any time period. Forever. Oh, no. I don't know. I'm going to go Starwood.
No. Four Seasons Hotels.
Ah, dang it. True. All right, one for two.
All right. A little geopolitical.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Geo. All right. Just this political. African country said it will build a second nuclear power plant generating more than 1,000 megawatts of electricity. One of the girls in the DCOM, The Color of Friendship, was from this country. What is this country?
What? You said African?
African, correct.
African country that has nuclear capabilities?
Well, they can do a nuclear power plant. So,
oh,
yeah.
Nuclear power plant.
Yeah. And the DCOM was The Color of Friendship, and one of the girls was from this country.
I have no idea. South Africa?
It was South Africa.
Oh, what? Just guess.
Color of Friendship. Very good DCOM. Not as good as Brink and a lot of other ones, but it's up there.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, if anybody watched DCOMs,
what's
they know.
DCOM? Is that like a
Disney
Pino?
Channel original movie?
Oh, got it. Oh, D-Dashcom.
Yes.
All right.
All right, on to question number four. You're two for three. On this date, this rapper turned 27. He is best known for having an ice cream cone on his face and the song Lemonade. His catchphrase is this clothing brand. Who is this rapper?
Is it Nelly?
What? What clothing brand is Nelly?
I don't know. Oh, is it 50 Cent? G Unit?
Nope, it's Gucci Mane.
Oh, man. Yeah, ice cream on his face?
Yeah, he's an ice cream cone.
Oh. I feel bad now because I ran his Twitter for about 2 months. Gucci.
All right, still 2 for 2.
2 for 4, 3, 4.
2 for 4.
Oh, all right, we. Oh man,
this is a big question. I think you should be able to get this one, but okay. All right. Question number 5. This artist turned 19 on this day. He would later become very influential in our college years due to his swagger and tasty tracks. Who is this artist?
Is it? I'm just gonna. That wasn't really a clue. There was a lot of them. I'm gonna go with Mike Posner.
Mike Posner is correct.
Yeah, shout out, Mickey P. three. Not quite 5, but hey, 2-point lead.
Hey, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a while since anyone got more than 2. But yeah, that's where we're gonna end our segments. But now we gotta give some recommendations, Sam.
All right, my recommendation is gonna be Mike and Ike's candy. I have a lot of them. Yeah, Mike and Ike's are probably my favorite candy. And
what?
You should get on that train.
You're lying.
Dead serious. Mike and Ike's are bomb.com.
BS. Who likes Mike and Ike's?
This guy. Mike and Ike's are like, I could probably eat them every day. And
who
I
are
have.
You?
Mike and Ike's are awesome.
Ugh. Whatever.
They're really? Sweet. They're good. Sweet and gummy.
So are like half the candies in the world.
Yeah, but it's like,
if you want sweet and gummy, just
fish.
Straight up go, what? Swedish fish.
Better
bomb.
Than Swedish fish.
Not better than Sour Patch Kids.
It's tough, but I would say yes.
What?
Yeah.
If you want sweet and gummy, go for like some Haribo gummy bears.
No, man.
Yeah,
screw dude. They're tough. No, I want Mike and Ike.
No.
When they were broken up for a little bit, I was pissed.
What?
I do not agree with that at all. This is only condoned by half of the Coming Clean podcast. I do not. But
yeah,
if you want to sponsor us, Mike and Ike.
Mike
or Ike, if you want to sponsor us, holla at your boys. Sam
yeah.
will do the reads. And I will fake that I like you. I'll fake many things for money. Ooh, problematic statement. All right. All right, I'm going to recommend a YouTube. Not really YouTube. It's more like it's everywhere, really. YouTube, Facebook, video, Twitter. A Daily V with Gary Vaynerchuk, if you just want, you know, just a little shot of adrenaline. Nice little show. I know he's sort of a polarizing figure in the business world. I personally enjoy his content. So go check him out, Daily V, at Gary V, V-E-E, on Twitter. And go say hi. Tell him Sam and Marty of the Coming Clean podcast sent you. And that's about all I got. Unless you have anything, we should ride off into the sunset.
My tank is on E.
All right, we'll let them know where they can find us.
Yeah, you can find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out our website at comingcleanpod.xyz. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod. Send us emails at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It helps out a lot. And tell all your friends about it.
As always, thank you to Radical Something for our theme song, Kelly Get Down. Always remember, Sam, for the weekend, what do the good people have to do?
Always rep the rad.
Worldwide.